designed for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
What is this?
Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline, coast to coast.
Oh, really? I'm hearing a weird feed.
I'm hearing your voice before Anderson gave you the cue. How about that? Welcome to Westwood One.
I got a problem here, technically.
Here, use this. There you go.
Drew gives me his headphones. Drew, you listen to my headphones? Yeah. What are you hearing?
A delay of about 30 seconds.
And a lot of static?
And a lot of static.
All right, Well, let's take the headphones off.
All right. Good times.
We'll get that cleared up. We just don't need to take any calls tonight. Why do we got to take these goddamn calls every night? These kids are bringing me down. Anderson, I don't understand what happened. You check everything 4 or 5 times before we go on the air each and every night.
There we go. Magic.
My host button wasn't pushed in.
Turn that up a little bit.
All right. Why don't you give me my headphones
back? Hold on. Here you go. I'm fixing them for you. Turn the volume. There you go.
Just don't worry about it. I got it now. All right. Got your headphones on?
Yeah. Good
times. All right. We're good times?
There we are.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So Sarah Rue was supposed to come in here tonight. She is...
Not here.
She's not here. She's a redhead chick from barely working or almost on the top of something. Less than perfect is where she's from. And I was thinking to myself, hey, she's the star of a show.
A movie, like, right?
No, Drew.
A TV show.
That's right, a TV show. That's why I call it a show.
Got it.
It was a movie. I say star of a movie.
Got it.
But she's the star of a show. And we usually get the wacky neighbor... Perhaps one of the kids, if there's at least 3 kids in the show, or some ancillary office person or something. But Sarah Rue is actually the star of the show Less Than Perfect, and I thought, that's odd that we're getting the star of a show in here. And no sooner did I have that thought than my phone rang, and it was producer Ann telling us that she canceled. But here's the beauty of this, and I mean it, and I'm not bitter about it. Anybody wants to cancel, feel free to cancel. No guest is like no work for me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to pretend to be interested. I don't have to read new bios. It sort of reminds me of when I was in school and I would come in and notice there was a substitute school teacher.
Or they were going to show a movie.
Oh, yeah.
You like that?
You want to know what a god-awful student I was, Drew? I looked at the reel to see how big the reel was. Like once in a while, like you'd see the projector and it was like, oh, well, holy Christ, there may be a movie. Hold on. And then you look for the reel. If you see that big reel, the one that's about 13 inches across, you're like, this is good. This may bring us 10 minutes into tomorrow's class.
Oh, yeah.
You know? But if you see that mini one, it's like, that's an 8-minute with a quiz.
Yes.
Oh, Christ, we're screwed. Now I got to start a diversion fire. Anything but actually do any studying. But anyway, Sarah Rue's not here. That's great. I'm not being facetious or vindictive or anything like that. I'm just saying, I actually mean it.
Yeah, whatever.
It's good for us, Drew, yes?
Good times.
We get to know each other.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. You watch Saddam Hussein
His
interview?
I've been hearing about it, though.
First off, he's doing a lot of ass kissing, which I like in a dictator. You know, and another thing, there's a couple things. Okay, A, he was bragging that in 95 he was elected with a 99.9% of the vote, and then in 2002 he got 100% of the vote. Now, to me, that smacks of strong arm tactics. Like it's like if you get elected with 71% of the vote, I say, wow, this is a popular guy.
Adam, he was the only candidate. I don't know how he got 99.5. How did that? People must have written in other candidates. And those people were killed probably.
I think another couple voted for.
He was the only candidate.
Yeah, but you know, like again, back to high school, when someone would run for assistant treasurer, and they would run unopposed,
right?
They would still give their speech and say, "But I still need your vote."
Yes,
which I was always fascinated by because I always thought, well, if you vote for yourself, then isn't that a landslide?
You're in.
We don't have any choice but you. But anyway, he was bragging that he got 100% of the vote, which, again, like I said, smacks of evil dictator, does it not?
Oh, absolutely.
No, not all right.
Yes. And also, he said we're currently bombing women and children. And somehow we're able to separate out the women and children. You know, like if we were being bombed here and...
Yeah, they'd pull out the women. The bombs specifically would ferret them
out.
Yeah.
Right. So we're currently doing that. Some other revelations. He did not lose in 90 and 91. They merely withdrew. And, it's a bunch of good ones. But anyway, in general, ass kiss mode, which I like to see. Because remember, you know, 12, 13 years ago, it's like we will feel the swift sword of justice as Allah brings it down across our infidel jugular.
Yes.
And now it's like, I think what Saddam realized is that Allah didn't seem to intervene. Like, it was like 13 years ago, he was cocky. He was like, hey, bring it on. I got Allah over here. Allah's just going to, hey, I mean, listen, you got smart bombs, you got bunker busters. That's fine. Allah is going to take them all out. Well, he didn't seem to intervene like 13 years ago, so now he's kind of relying slightly less on Allah, and he's a little more in ass-kiss mode, which is where I like to see him. Just brown-nosing all the way, talking about how the Iraqi people love peace, and they love the Americans, they want us to get along. He's really kissing ass, which you never see him do, so that's kind of nice.
Interesting.
Yeah. Although,
no, not all right.
Who knows if that was him?
Yeah.
I mean, he's using, you know, could
lots
have just,
of doubles.
Could have been one of his doubles. Huh. Mike?
Yes.
I got to get a double to come in and do this show for me.
Yeah, Mike like that.
He's a big boy. Yeah, there you go. Mike?
Yes, how you doing, gentlemen?
Good, I'm doing good here, Mike. What's going on?
Well, what's going on is I've got an erection problem.
Okay.
It's non-existent.
Well, Mike, you're 60, yes?
Yeah, I'm 60, but I didn't have this problem up until 2 years ago when they split me open for stomach aneurysm.
Uh-huh. That could have been it, right?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I can get like a partial erection, but it doesn't, you know, it doesn't stay. I do get aroused.
What medication are you on?
I get those partials when
I'm
I try
on,
to...
Hazar, I'm on Biosopol, and I'm on one aspirin a day.
What was the second one?
Biosopol.
I'm trying to interpret what that is. What kind of medicine is that?
That's for high blood pressure. The Hazar is a...
Hizar, yeah, Hizar.
Can you, Mike?
Yes.
Are you a Jew?
No, I'm Italian.
You're not Jewish.
No,
well, I'm wrong. All Jews can pronounce medication like doctors. They really can.
Vascular problems.
Like Greek doctors.
Are, aside from medication, vascular problems are one of the leading causes of erectile problems. So it could be your vascular disease, the surgery, and or now the medication you're taking. So you got to talk to your doctor about it. And if any of those things are creating a situation which can't be treated in any other way, Viagra is designed for this.
Can you have an orgasm?
I guess what you would call is an internal orgasm. I mean, I have all the feelings of an orgasm, okay?
But nothing comes out.
And nothing comes out.
All right.
I tried Viagra.
So be it.
But that did absolutely nothing.
How hard did you go on the dosing?
I went up to, the doctor told me to try one. If that didn't work, try two. And if that didn't work, try three. Well, I haven't gone to three. I only went up as high as two.
What's the milligram of each pill?
Oh, Lord, I don't even remember.
I tried two of the pills.
You can go up to 100 milligrams. So there's 25 milligram pills.
Right.
Okay, he gave me the sample packages that they have in the office.
All right. Well, look, what about one of those pumps?
I went to the neurologist.
Yeah.
Okay, the neurologist is the one that suggested the Viagra. He suggested at first, he suggested putting an implant where it would stay erect.
Yes.
Yeah. Like Larry Flint.
Larry Flint has one of those. And in the reservoirs in his sack, squeezes it three times, he gets an erection. Four times his garage door opens.
The other thing.
Oh, yes.
Is.
All right, Drew, you're out of thoughts.
Yeah, no, they're I'm,
you don't care.
I'm lost.
He's 60. He's got one foot in the grave. We got young kids to help.
Right.
Mike.
Mike, listen, there are injectable medicines right now that you use. That's sort of the next step, and that's what you have to be going
Are you married, Mike?
No, I'm divorced.
All right.
I do have a girlfriend.
You do? Okay.
All right. Keep working on it. You're going down the right path.
Yeah, you'll work it out. There, good times. Good times. Is he having a retrograde ejaculation?
Sounds like it. Sounds like he is.
That doesn't sound so bad.
Cleaner.
Yeah.
Neater. Not cleaner. Neater.
Yeah, like the smokeless ashtray.
Yeah.
I wish I could get that going on.
A retrograde ejaculation?
Yeah.
Remember those guys that talk about pushing up on the perineum there and directing it backwards?
Tank.
You can work on that.
I don't know. You know my thoughts about stopping anything that's due?
That's due to come out?
Yeah, like, you know those people who sneeze, they go, and they actually pinch their nose off, and it hurts my eardrums, and I have like a sympathetic eardrum, like, just, honey, go ahead and sneeze. They go like, it's like, let it fly, just put your hand there, it's all right. Sneezing feels good. True?
I'm just thinking how that pertains to semen.
Oh, I'm saying, but if something's supposed to be heading out of your body,
let it go, let it fly.
And you grab it off. There's gonna be consequences.
Let it fly. Okay.
That's right.
Yeah, good time.
Andrea?
Hello?
You're 18?
Yes. I have a question. Like, me and my boyfriend have been together for a little while, and I don't think that, like, I'm the kind of person where I have a lot of high goals and standards for myself.
Like what?
Like, as far as I'm gonna go to law school, and I'm gonna be, like, have a lot of goals and be a high achieving person.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And that's always been, like, one of my goals in life.
To be a high-achieving person?
Yeah.
That's her goal.
All right.
Is to become a high-achieving person.
I see.
Not to achieve goals, but to become a high-achieving person.
All right. I'd like to be one of those high-achieving persons, too. Yeah. What are you doing now?
I go to school.
Where?
I go to Cal State Northridge.
Oh, well, see, now you got off to a little bumpy start there, didn't we, Andrea?
Yes, we did.
Yeah, you should have set your goals to go to a UC school instead of a state school.
We will be transferring probably to Berkeley.
We? The royal we?
I predict 2017 is when that goes through.
No.
All right.
When did you decide to become a high-achieving person?
Well, like, my whole life. I've always excelled at...
Well, how did Northridge figure into those dreams?
Because Northridge figured in because I didn't get it. I wanted to go to school back east, and I applied to a bunch of schools and didn't get in, and so I was sad and decided to go to Cal State Northridge.
Well, they didn't know about your dream? The schools back east didn't know you're a high-achieving person?
Apparently not.
All right. Well, look, I don't want to kill your buzz, but my mom went to Cal State Northridge. And that's how bad a school that is. Okay, she spent like 17 years at Valley College studying Chicano studies as a major.
Seriously.
Yeah, she sat down with her counselor. Well, you know, she's in her 40s at this point. Sits down with the counselor and she's like, is there a possible major that I could have that I could have no chance of getting any sort of gainful employment from? Like, what's something that translates into $0 but still sort of sticks with my retarded left-wing agenda? And the guy's like, well, what are you, Scotch and Welsh? You know, a little bit Irish? How about Chicano studies? That seems like something your hippie buddies would be good for, and no one would be pressuring you to get a job once you graduated, because what the hell are you going to do? She went and did that. And she did that over at Northridge.
Is that why she took you guys to Food Lions when you were growing up? Just to sort of do some research, some field work?
Oh, no. We ate at a couple churches. Yeah, listen, free spaghetti's free spaghetti, Mr. Lord Fauntleroy over there. Andrea?
Yes?
Sorry, baby doll. All right. So, anyway, you're high achiever.
Yeah. And my boyfriend's just kind of okay with being average.
Mm-hmm. Does he go to school with you?
Yes.
So he's doing okay at college.
He's doing okay, but he doesn't have like any kind of. He's like, oh, I'll get out. He has a business major, and he doesn't know what he's gonna do when he graduates. He'll graduate in another year.
And yet
he is a business major.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At Northridge also.
Mhm.
And what's your major?
I'm business too.
All right. So
is he doing
seems
well?
Seems like you're going to the same school and majoring in the same subject.
Yes, but it's different. Like, he's like, oh, well, I'll just go and work, because his dad owns his own business.
Mm.
And he's like, I'll just work for my dad and stay around here. And
what kind of business?
They own some kind of contracting, I don't know.
All right. Well, sounds like maybe he's got a pretty good future ahead of him.
I can't read this either. Or maybe it's not into this guy. You're not into this guy.
Andrew, you don't like him. You're done with him. How long have you been together?
Like 9 months.
Yeah. 9 months.
You're not into him.
For whatever reason. He doesn't excite you, and his life's plans are a little different than yours. And
He wants to stay there.
You want to go out and see
this
the big world.
Loser wants to go to Northridge and major in business. She's going to Northridge and majoring in business. You clearly aren't right for each other. I mean, you're worlds apart. Worlds. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
All right, baby. You're not into this guy. That's all.
Okay.
He's not a mover and a shaker, but...
Neither is she.
Well, but she...
She fashions herself one.
She moves and shakes her mouth about moving and shaking. That's her strength. Some people are doers, others are talkers, Drew. I'm a talker myself.
Oh, yeah, I noticed that.
And lover.
No.
I do notice that the guys who... I'd like to do a study one day, like guys who read books on accumulating wealth and becoming powerful.
How many actually do something?
Yeah. And I say the percentage who read the books are actually a lower success rate than the average guy who just doesn't read those books.
That would make sense.
Yeah, and the people sort of talk about plans.
Yeah.
Guys who want to be businessmen, guys who give you that speech when they're 19, like, you're working for someone else, you're a sucker. I'm going to work for myself. But they end up doing a bad T-shirt. They come up with some retarded T-shirt idea. Jimmy's brother.
Uh-oh. Which one?
Well, Jimmy is a brother-in-law. What time is it?
You got time. Go.
Where's Jimmy? Oh. His dressing room.
He's
right
getting
now.
He's not listening to this. Are you kidding? Are you high?
He's probably being fed grapes right now in his dressing room. Okay, Jimmy has his brother-in-law. It's Carson. He's a he's from Hawaii, so that's all you need to
got,
know.
Got the picture.
In the brains department. And he's sweet kid.
Yeah.
But you know, he wants to do his own business, and so he had this T-shirt. You know, doofus guys get these T-shirt ideas. I'm going to come out with my own T-shirt. So some dumb guys are really attracted to T-shirts with writing on them.
Yes, yes.
And it's usually stuff that has to do with their dork or some chick or some boobs or something. But he had one, and so he was going to do this sort of, sort of aggressive one. Like, who used to do that whole thing? That campaign, it would say like second place just means you join the losers behind me, you know, those kind of like real aggressive ones.
Yeah,
like the ones where guy's got a drawing of a pit bull on it and says bad to the bone.
Yeah.
Like, all right, I stay out of this guy's way. He's got a rendering of a pit bull on his shirt. I guess that makes him a badass. But so this guy had one that said scars heal, losing doesn't. And I thought, I had to point out to him that really one of the definitions of scarring was that it didn't heal. He had about 3,000 of these things made up. I was like, you know what I showed him? I showed him my smallpox vaccination from 1965. I was like, hey, yeah, his name's Carson. I was like, Carson, you see this? Yes, just the same as it was the day they gave it
to
me.
What do you do?
Well, I guess he had difficulty moving those shirts. I evidently was the first person to step up with this tidbit.
But it also doesn't have any lyric quality to it. You know what I mean? At least there needs to be sort of a little rhyme.
Yeah, but the idea is it's supposed to be aggressive, and you're supposed to...
Oh, my God.
The thought behind it is you may take a spill or a tumble or get a black eye or what have you. That all heals. But losing doesn't. But
I get the
ironically, using scar and Drew, the definition of a scar is just a wound that doesn't really heal.
Yeah, I mean, it's a remnant. Yeah, something that stays.
Look, see that thing on my hand?
Scar.
Yeah, scar. That there. That's from a ski trip in 1980. Yeah, right there on the nose. Still there.
I think what he meant was wounds heal.
He may have meant that, but he wrote scars. That's all I'm saying.
That's nice.
All right. Shall we?
No.
You know what?
Yeah.
Let's tease a call.
All right, here we go.
Shelly?
Hello?
You're 18?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
I like to have anal sex with my girlfriend, but I have IBS, irritable bowel syndrome, and I was wondering if it was bad for me or not to be doing that.
Perfect.
For IBS.
This is perfect.
And what could be wrong with that? Using dildos?
No, wait, Drew. I don't want to hear anymore. I want to take a break.
You heard enough. All right.
She's having anal sex with her girlfriend, though?
That's what I asked.
Shut up. Shelly.
Yes.
You're having anal sex with your girlfriend?
Yes.
Are you using a strap-on?
She's using a strap-on on me, yes.
Okay, and you have irritable bowel syndrome.
Yes, I do.
Wow. Kelsey
Grammer's like a spokesman for that.
His wife.
His wife is, but he is as well. Are you aware of that?
No, I'm not.
Maybe
are you familiar with the man's work?
No, I'm not.
Frasier?
Yeah, I know Frasier, yeah.
Okay, hold on there, baby.
Ask her if she's good looking at least.
We'll get back. For now, just they should use their imagination.
Are you hot?
I guess so, yeah.
All right, good enough. All right, we'll take a quick break. Shelly has irritable bowel syndrome. She's being rectally probed via strap-on by her lesbian partner. And we'll get to the bottom of her bottom after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dickie Barrett's going to be in tomorrow night from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones. Always great to see Dickie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he will. He'll be doing that tomorrow night for us, and I guarantee he'll be in here. All right. So when we left off, we were speaking to Shelly. Shelly's 18. Shelly's a lesbian. Shelly has irritable bowel syndrome.
But likes dry anal rape.
Well, not necessarily dry. That's the sound I would make if someone put a strap on and probed me. She has irritable bowel, and there's a problem. Shelly?
Hi.
So.
Well, so you asked, is that a problem to be engaging in that behavior, right?
Well, yeah, because I know that it can cause some major problems because I've had to go to the emergency room before for it.
You've had to go to the emergency room before for irritable bowel or because of something related to anal sex?
Related to anal sex. I have irritable bowel, and I thought maybe that caused the problem. I ended up with a fissure and had to go to the ER for it.
The fissure has nothing to do with the irritable bowel.
Okay.
The fissure is just you guys being too rough.
Well, that's what she said. She said she...
Yeah, but she keeps kind of connecting the two up a little
well,
bit.
Well, they're both in her ass, but yeah, she said that she went to the hospital because
for a fissure. She said it's bad for my irritable bowel, and I went to the hospital for a fissure. All right.
Just quiet down.
How is it bad for the irritable bowel?
Because irritable bowel is basically... The reason I'm wondering about it is because I thought maybe it was not the cause of my irritable bowel, but maybe irritating it really bad. Because I know I already have a problem with it. I didn't know if anal sex was going to irritate it even more and cause me to have fissures.
Do you have inflammatory bowel disease or do you have irritable bowel disease?
I have irritable bowel disease.
All right. Irritable bowel is just spastic colon. Okay? There's no fissures associated with that. That you caused yourself that from the anal sex, or you may have been misdiagnosed and you actually have inflammatory bowel disease.
Okay.
But be that as it may.
What color is the strap on? Because it I'm going to get to this. It's important.
What color is it?
Yeah.
It's pink.
How quaint. A Barbie strap on.
Yeah.
It's nice.
So you actually went to the hospital because your girlfriend was too rough with you?
Yeah, she was kind of being kind of rough, and then I ended up having to go to the ER because I was bleeding really bad.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You know where I'm going with that.
Yeah. You got what happened?
Yeah.
You got abused? You got sexually abused?
Oh, yeah.
No, I have never been sexually abused. I had a bad stepdad, but I never was sexually abused.
And what did he do to you?
He used to beat me and yell at me and all that.
Where's my bourbon?
The physical abuse.
Oh, just physical abuse.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, that's enough. All right, so that's what got you going lesbo. And then... It's
well,
fun.
Not necessarily.
Well, not necessarily.
That's certainly what got you into
the rough
sex.
Yeah. Love.
Sex to the point that you harm yourself.
Yeah.
And, yeah okay.
And the problem is I have an apple the size of a mason jar.
Oh.
Very good.
I got you guys.
That was good.
That's why I was trying to nail her down. And you.
Oh, shut up. You didn't know anything.
She was confusing the different kinds of disorders.
Yeah, but you don't know nothing.
You know what? Realistically, I really do have irritable bowel syndrome. That's why I use that as an example.
Yeah, but you don't have fissures, right?
And you're like 32.
No, I have gotten fissures before. I have gone to the ER for that.
But that's something not related to irritable bowel, unless you have such bad diarrhea.
Didn't say it was related to the irritable bowel.
Hey, I'm talking to her. Shut up. I'm talking.
Oh,
let me just finish. Let's finish the conversation. That was not related to the irritable bowel. Just maybe because you had such bad diarrhea, you caused some fissuring, right?
They weren't really sure. They said I had two fissures, and I didn't know why.
Have you? Right. It's not. If irritable bowel does not cause fissures. Did you have a colonoscopy?
Yes, I did.
And they didn't see inflammatory bowel?
No. Right.
Why are you helping this bitch? She made a prank call.
Well, she's, hey, is there a guy behind it? She's maybe the first woman to do it on her own.
That is exactly why I called, because I wanted to prove that women can do it on
see?
Their own.
See? We should pay homage to her.
All right. Good times. I hope you get raped with a strap on.
Well done, Shelly. With her Barbie strap on.
Well, it was.
Pink. We should have been clued into that right away.
No,
too.
We shouldn't have.
Pink.
No, you know why? Because if it was a prank call, she would have said it was big and black.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? Also, she did have irritable bowel.
Yeah.
And she did have fissures.
Right.
Rectal fissures. So you call them fissures.
F-I-S-S. F-I-S-S-U-R.
Oh, really? Yeah. So everyone calls them fissures.
Yeah.
Fissures?
It's a crack. A fissure.
It's a what?
You know.
Fish? Like in Arizona, they got the Grand Fish?
Grand Fissure.
Yeah. All right.
Fish on.
All right. It's not in there.
Fissure.
I think it's in there.
Fissure, a narrow opening or crack of considerable
depth. Does
it
say how it's pronounced?
F-I-S-S.
Does it say the pronunciation?
Fissure.
Is it pronunciation or pronunciation?
Fissure.
Look up pronounce. Is it pronounce or pronounce?
Pronunciation? I'm confused.
All right. Everyone's right.
Yeah.
Everyone's right. Joe?
Yeah.
You're 25?
Yep.
What's up?
My father-in-law, he is transgender.
Good times?
Yeah. And I just want to know if that makes him gay. Because to me it does. Any man that puts a dress on, takes hormone pills to grow breasts.
I say worse than gay, Joe.
Most male to female transgenders have lesbian relationships.
Okay.
So isn't that weird?
They go from male to female, and then they hook up with a chick.
That's how peculiar. When I first started treating those people, I had a diagram, and my brain wouldn't process it. It's like,
well,
you go to become a female, and then you go back to women. It's like,
yeah, right.
But if you think about it, if there's something about lesbians that attracts you, mm-hmm. the person,
right,
the only way you're gonna have a relationship with them is if you're a woman.
It's probably best that you become a lesbian, too, because you've still got that cleft in your chin and your protruding Adam's apple and you're 238 pounds. You know what I mean?
A big hand.
You become a bull dyke with big knuckles. Hey, Joe?
Yeah.
This has got to be awkward during, like, Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he came out about it. I mean, he called the whole family over one day and set everybody down. And he has 5 kids and 2 daughter-in-laws and me.
Yeah.
And you were there at the meeting?
Yeah.
How'd that go down? How'd you like that?
Oh, I thought it was funny, actually. And my wife takes it hard.
I bet.
Sure.
You didn't break out any laughter, did you?
Oh, no, not there.
I made it very clear to my dad that if he tries anything like this, I will have a drifter kill him. And I make enough money that I'm insulated enough and can be distant enough, and I can hire somebody just to kill him. And I think he believed me, and I meant it. I absolutely meant it.
It's hard for my wife and my brother-in-laws and all that, because, I mean, growing up, he was a preacher and everything else.
Yeah. What about your wife? I mean,
she okay?
It doesn't seem like she could get through a childhood with this guy at the helm unscathed.
Well, I mean, he was to everyone else. I mean, no one suspected anything.
Yeah, it's not what I'm talking about. Hold on a second. First off, as you know, I want hyper religiosity. I want it classified as a mental disorder. Any priests, not so much the rabbis, because they're not really into it. They're like, yeah, you want to be a rabbi? You can be one. Yeah, you chicks, you can be a rabbi. Everyone can be a rabbi. We're not really, we don't buy into this stuff too much.
We just don't want teacher.
Rabbis, like, rabbi is a Jew going, I don't want to be a doctor. I don't want to be a lawyer. I don't want to piss my mom off. I'll be a rabbi. That's your only choice. If you think about it, it's really just to shut their parents up because they don't want to go to med school. And wouldn't you say, Drew, seriously?
Oh, yeah, I'd say so. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not talking about every rabbi. I'm talking about, like, you know, 95, 98% of them. There's only so many Jewish jobs, you know? Well, okay. Here's my point.
What is your point?
My point is this guy was a preacher.
Mm, yeah.
So he's a little suspect already. And then he goes and he's transgender now and all that.
So just having all that emotional stuff.
What did he do to her? I'm not saying he molested her. I'm just saying, what was it like growing up?
There are a lot of people that are transgender, and we don't have callers calling with emotional consequences in their interpersonal lives. You know what I mean? We don't hear a lot about that. So it's probably not a big deal.
But it means you have a tormented parent at least.
It does, but...
All right. Joe?
Yeah.
How's your wife doing?
Well, she saw a psychiatrist about it when he first came out about
it. Yeah, but just in general, is she doing all right? Can she have an orgasm? Does she cry when you get on top of her?
No.
Stable relationship?
Yeah, we have a good relationship and everything.
Everything's good? You have any kids?
Yeah, we have two.
What do you do now? Two grandmas, or how's that work?
What do you tell the kids?
You got three grandmas and one grandma. How's that work?
Well, my kids call them Papaw, so, I mean.
Papaw.
Yeah, I mean, they're young enough. They're two. One's about to turn two, and the other one just turned four, so they don't know no different.
It's right in between there.
Like grandma?
It's not Pappy, it's not
Grammy?
Oh, they call him Papaw, so. They're he's
grandma, Papaw.
Yeah.
All right.
All right,
Joe. It's good times.
Yeah,
you're doing fine, buddy. What are you doing? You operating some piece of equipment?
Work for a high school.
All right, what do you do?
Custodian.
Good job. I heard keys jingling.
Yeah.
In my mind, I heard keys. All right, it's good times. You get a look at the chicks every once in a while.
Oh yeah, there's some hot ones here.
Yeah, you going? You got? Yeah. All right, there, buddy boy.
All right.
Even you got spooked. Didn't want to go down that path.
Nah, say he's got all the keys. He goes in the locker room once in a while.
God.
Take a little look around. Nothing wrong with that. All right. You got to have some perks in a custodial job. I never actually saw, you always kind of knew the custodian at the school because he had all the keys.
Right.
And he'd just be walking up and down the hall. Sometimes they give him that trash can with the wheels on it. That's a bad sign, by the way, when you got a trash can with wheels on it.
Yeah.
Better, more dignity just to drag a trash can than to have the wheeled one. Because the wheeled one means it's like that's your wheelchair. You're never getting out.
It's your desk.
Yeah, you're just pushing this thing all over the place with a broom in it. But I never actually saw any custodians do anything. Did you ever see them actually doing it? Like, they were in transit. They're on the move.
The bathrooms had run in.
Stuff was going on. Stuff was, but did you ever catch them actually doing anything?
Not very often, no.
I have this theory that they just moved about. Like there were extras in a custodian movie. You know what I mean? Like, you ever see them down on their knees or scrubbing? I think they just had a guy there and he was like part security, part narc.
Probably sort of undercover guy.
Like once in a while you see him talking into his collar.
Yeah, I thought he was just talking to himself.
No.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he had that earpiece. Why did the guy have the earpiece?
I thought he was hard of hearing.
No, snark.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I come in and bust you and your buddies.
We weren't doing any drugs.
throw crab on him.
Please, how dare you. Dare you bring that up.
Did you ever light your poo and throw it at each other?
You can't light poo, you idiot. Don't you know that? I mean, you can't. I mean, if you dry it out, I mean, like if you're an Indian. You can use buffalo crab.
I see.
Well, that's a good point. You can light cow chips and buffalo chips and stuff, and that's what, like, the Indians were using that up until just, like, 3 months ago or something to heat. But human fecal matter wouldn't be just made of brush and grass. You know what I mean?
I see. This to me means you've tried it.
I've done some pretty extensive lab work on this.
I figured. I knew you guys were, up.
Well, no, but this would be an interesting.
Maybe the methane would light.
This would be, that I know for a fact lights. Okay, but I'm just saying this would be an interesting experiment or an interesting category in like Jeopardy or something, like which animal's S lights. So what I mean is like whale crap. Probably not, even if you dried it out, because they eat a lot. If they eat a lot of plankton and stuff. Okay, here's what I'm saying.
We'll be right back.
No, lion crap wouldn't burn.
Because it's all carnivorous.
It's all carnivorous.
Again, unless the bacteria are producing a gas that continues to be emitted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got to look into this now.
I know.
But cow ass would burn if you dried it out because it's just basically just grass. And what about someone who was, let's see, you got your carnivores, you got your, carnivores.
Omnivores, herbivores.
What do I got to tell you the stuff you're supposed to know?
Because I was thinking about...
No, you're thinking about nothing.
No, I was thinking about insects that eat wood and cellulose.
Stop thinking about insects when I'm trying to get herbivore in there, would you? All right. Herbivore would be able to light. Carnivore, not be able to light the Duke. And omnivore, every other crab would light. Every third one. That's what I figured out. All right, let's take a break. We'll be back.
Loveline will be right back.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. All right. I'm going to have to get my buddy Larry Flint on the horn and explain. Well, I don't know if it's Larry, but I was just looking at a Hustler. May 2003 is out, by the way.
Bouncy, bouncy.
Aren't we still in February?
Yeah.
Really? They're allowed to... Isn't there some sort of magazine law that says you can't come out 3 months in advance? Like, May. Yeah?
He just figures, I guess, in case there's a war, he's going to be...
All right. Well, anyway, Larry has come out with The Hustler. And Drew, stop me if I'm wrong here, but every third ad in the back of the magazine has a beautiful woman with a penis hanging off of her, yes?
You showed me that, yeah.
Yeah. Do you know any gents that are into that, Drew?
I never have really heard or thought of that until you showed me these.
Do you think it's 33% of men want to see a beautiful woman with a big dork hanging off their crotch? And by the way, what about the part where it kills my boner? You know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to get my groove on looking at the magazine, and I flip open in the back, and some chick's got a dick hanging off her. What is that? And they put out the phone numbers? Who's calling these things?
What about the peeing thing?
What's even worse? They got, like shots of war and, like, decapitated heads sometimes?
Yeah. It's tough to spank to anymore. There's chicks whizzing all over each other. There's other chicks with the penis hanging off them. And then you have some Iraqi kid who swallowed a grenade. It's like, semen's not going to come out of me. Tears are coming out of me. Then I'm going into therapy, but I'm not beating off. What is this? And listen, I like pornography. And Drew, I mean, look, we like depictions of attractive people in the nude, possibly in sexual situations, but not the sort of bizarre and macabre, you know, not the occult.
I don't need that feeling of uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
what is it about the guy who likes to spank off to the chick? It's like, this chick, she's got three nipples and a dick, and there's guy taking a dump on her.
See, I think it's hard to look at. It's like,
you want to avert your eyes. It's like gay porn. When you see a guy being penetrated by another guy as a straight guy, you have to put your hand up a little bit.
It's sort of like
You're driving and the sun is in your face. That's the look and position you have. I'd like to have a gay visor. You know the visor you have in your car when you're driving home and it's 5:30 in the afternoon and that sun's just hitting you right in the face? I'd like that for gay porn, right? I just flip that thing down. It just cuts the damaging rays of gay porn, so I don't have to actually be harmed by that.
Adam, real quick, what was Drew examining there?
Drew's...
He's really into The Hustler.
I've never seen one of these before. It's like,
please.
No, really.
He knows his wife's listening. Never seen one of these before.
Liar, whore. You know it.
I've probably not seen a Hustler in 15 years. And it's a different magazine now.
Listen, Larry Flint's been in here five times. You've seen The Hustler every time he's been in here.
I never really looked at it. I've
screamed about the chicks with dicks things 100 times.
And I've not seen it until you...
All right. Sarah?
Yes.
You're 19?
I am.
What's up?
I think I have way too much sex that I'm supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kind of think it has something to do with something. I'm not sure what it is, though.
Like
my
what?
My boyfriend's complaining.
And how often are you doing it?
God, like two or three times a day.
For how many days has this been going on?
I've been dating him for 8 months, and that's how I met him.
What do you mean how you met him?
I met him when I slept with him.
Well, what, you just met him one night and slept with him?
Well, he was dating a friend at the time, but that's besides the point.
What were you like before you met him?
I'd had sex once in my life before him.
Huh.
Yeah, I kind of like just started doing it and I haven't stopped.
You said you thought there might be something generating all this. Were you abused in some way?
My mom kicked me out as soon as I graduated. And
No.
I'm not like physically abused or like sexually and stuff.
No bad emotional abuse or anything.
Oh, extremely bad emotional abuse. I'll tell you that.
By whom?
Oh yeah.
By whom?
My mother.
Your mother. Where's your dad?
My dad's the female in the family.
Yeah,
but he's been around though.
My dad?
He's still in your life.
Yeah, he's the only one that contacts me.
Okay, and any manic depression in the family?
See, that's the thing. I was medicated for manic depression for 5 years, all and right. I found out recently that I'm not.
Well, guess what? You are. Because this hypersexuality is part of hypomania.
She's 19. She sounds like Liza Minnelli.
Yeah.
Everyone tell you
that's all.
Anyone ever tell you sound like Liza Minnelli?
No.
Yeah. You rent that Arthur. You'll see what I'm talking about.
Now, this is part of your bipolarity, I'm sure.
Are you positive, though? Because I found out that I'm not.
Well, how did you find out you're not? What does that mean?
Well, I went to a doctor because I've been living at home or out of home since like over a year now. And I went to the doctor because I was on lithium and Risperdal and Wellbutrin. And I went off it on my own.
When did you stop it?
Over a year ago. That's half the reason why they kicked me out.
Well, look, it takes about a few months for your mania to get going again. Magically, 4 months after you stopped your medicine, you're hypersexual, your speech is all sped up.
A year ago.
Here we go. Yeah, but 4 months later is when she became hypersexual with this guy. She's been dating him for 8 months.
All right.
And you got to get back on. How did they know you weren't bipolar? You know, they pulled you off the medicine and you became manic. I mean, it's crazy.
When I was on it, though, I think I was more depressed than...
Then you need to adjust it. And people who are bipolar always miss their manias, and they don't take their medicines properly because they, A, don't want to have the problem, convince themselves that they don't have it, or they just like being manic and take the medicines and they go back into that phase.
They miss their manias.
Yep.
Meaning the medication stabilizes them, no highs, right. No lows, and they miss the highs.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I would, too.
But the highs are going to be very uncomfortable.
Uh-huh.
I mean, there's a very narrow margin from being fun to having the lid blow off.
Right. Anthony?
Yeah.
You're 21?
Yep.
What's up?
Okay. I talked to you guys about a year ago. I drive for an escort agency.
Yeah.
And,
I remember you.
Yeah. And, well, one of the girls, and it wasn't me, but one of the other drivers, they went and saw my girlfriend's dad the other day.
How did they know it was your girlfriend's dad?
They didn't. I just happened to be looking in the call book, like the book where they write all the stuff down, the guy's names and addresses and everything,
right. Okay.
And happened to come across it.
The guy just gave his full Christian name?
Oh, yeah, they always do. We get their full name.
Sure, somebody, one of your buddies not pulling a joke on you or something at work?
I don't think so. I mean, it was his address.
And they would have no way of knowing that?
Yeah, I mean, nobody at work would really know that. I mean, right. I've never met my girlfriend, much like we know that. That was her dad.
All right. There you go.
Kind of wondering if I should tell her or not.
Now, your girlfriend does what?
She just goes to school. She doesn't really have a job.
Are her parents together?
They're separated at the moment.
Mm-hmm. They called over a young chick. What do you do to her? What do they do? Do they have, like, a B for BJ or S for sodomy or something? Yeah.
Yeah, something along those lines, yeah. I mean, I don't think it was full sex, but...
All right, these separate from
like his wife. a little dance and a jack.
Right, probably.
Dance and jack?
A little dance and jack. Well, what do most of the gals do when they go over to a fella's house?
Kind of depends on the money, but I mean, most of the time it's usually just a little show, and then depending on tipping, things kind of go from there.
Right. Let me see. All right. And is it considered bad etiquette to beat off?
No, that's usually pretty expected.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the girls actually like that, because then once the guy's done, they can get out of there quicker.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're not getting paid by the hour, it's just sort of by the...
Right, just kind of tipping.
Okay, how much...
And they know they're not going to have to do anything, also.
How much is it?
Sure. The tips range, well, it's a $150 fee to get the girls to the door.
Uh-huh.
And then tips range anywhere from low $100 to high $1,000.
And what if you don't want to tip? Is there a problem?
If what?
If you don't tip.
Then you really don't get anything. The girls will usually just kind of hang out for maybe 15 minutes, do a little lingerie show, and leave.
I see. And now, what do you do as a driver? You just sit out in the driveway and listen to Rush on 8-track?
Well, CDs, but that, and we also have scanners, so we can, the girls are bugged. You can hear what goes on.
Ooh. And where do they hide the bug?
In the purse.
In the purse?
Yeah. They carry your purse and keep the bug in there.
Well, this is interesting. This is a new piece of technology. Hold on a second, Anthony.
All right.
We have to take a break.
Okay.
But I'm interested, and that's a good idea, because you don't want the guy coming in and standing around. Like back in the day,
right,
you'd have this 700-pound black dude with the ghetto box, and he'd be making change and standing there with his arms folded, and you guys were trying to get your groove on, and it was all kind of weird. Give me a mother effing shoe! Yeah. This guy's now waiting in the car, but if he hears the stiletto and the chick scream, he can call 911. Just drive away. I just start heading for the border. All right, we'll be back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dickie Barrett will be in here tomorrow night, lead singer of the Mighty Mighty Bosstones, and great all-around guy. So it'll be good to catch up with him. All right. When we left off, we're speaking to Anthony. Anthony works as a driver for an escort service. He had a problem in that his girlfriend, who does not work for the escort service, her father, who separated from her mother, he found his name and address on the books, meaning an escort went over to his pad. Wants to know whether to tell her or not. We decided he shouldn't, right?
Yeah.
Because
you know, he's separate, it's his business.
Right. And you know the other thing about women, and Drew, please admit your wife would do this to you, which is eventually she would get mad at you. Somehow, somehow that would turn on you.
It'd be your fault, yeah, somehow.
Somehow.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so just stay out of that. But Anthony.
Yeah.
The part we were interested in is the bug. The part where you put the transmitter in the purse.
Right.
And then you sit out in the car and you listen on a scanner.
Right.
And so now you hear music, right? Do they play music?
Usually, yeah.
And so you hear the music, but you can hear the conversation as well?
Yeah, usually.
And are the girls instructed to put the purse, like, are they swinging the purse around, like, talking to the purse, and then they talk into the purse, and what?
Set it on the table, or like, the table next to the bed or whatnot.
Set it in a place that's sort of central that'll pick it up. And if you hear furniture breaking or gun, you know, shotgun pumping or something like that, you know, there's trouble, right?
Right, right.
Now, have you ever heard anything alarming or bizarre or weird?
Yeah. I've heard a lot of alarming, bizarre, weird stuff.
Right. Like, give me a good one.
A real good one?
No, give us
a good one.
Give us sort of medium crappy.
Let's see. We had a guy who wanted a girl to come over with dirty feet and wash her feet off in the bucket of water for him to drink. And the dirtier her feet were, the larger was the tip.
Oh, my goodness.
And what have you heard through the microphone on the scanner besides, I'm going to give it to you all. And then, here's $20. Don't let the door hit you on the way out.
You can usually hear the girls kind of faking their moans and whatnot. And the guys kind of grunting and doing their stuff.
Right. And you've not had any trouble?
On occasion. I mean, I've had a couple of calls where I've had to go get the girl out.
And, you know, are these calls? I mean, at a certain point, if there's trouble, do they start yelling like... No, they would yell like Snowman or Raven or something. They would have
say, like, driver, come to the door.
And they're yelling it into they're yelling it into the purse.
Right.
And you would come to the door.
Right.
And what happened?
What if the door's locked, though?
If it's locked and you can't break into a window to get in through, then you just kind of have to pound on it until the girl can unlock it.
And, I mean, seriously, if you heard a shotgun pump, you just start the car and head out,
well,
right?
I do carry a gun on me when I work.
You do?
Yes, I do.
And what's happening to them when you run in there?
Well,
he hasn't had to do any of it
that
yet.
They want out. But he said he'd had them call him to get them out.
Usually we get them out before anything really bad happens. We had a week ago a girl that got thrown on a bed. Grabbed her and threw her on the bed and wanted his money back, and the driver went to the door and pounded on the door, and she unlocked it, and he walked inside, and they both left.
All right. Wow. So. And your girlfriend, who's just a college student,
right,
is perfectly fine with you doing this?
She had her reservations about it at first, but I kind of explained to her, like, you know, I know what these girls do, and I know who they do it with, so I don't really want them.
All right. And that's good defense. And but what – it seems dangerous, but
– yeah.
And now how do you get paid? Do they tip you out?
Yeah. I make – I get 20% of whatever they make.
Wow.
And then that $20 out of the agency fee.
Okay. So you get 20% of whatever they get tipped or whatever they make?
Whatever they make.
All right,
whatever, so girls make, I get 20%.
If it's $150, just to
make 30.
You make 30, and then if
less
they get
the 20 fee, so I'd make 50 total.
All right, and then you get some of the tip.
Well, yeah, that would, if it's $150, I would get $20 for that 150, and then 20% of whatever she makes on top of that.
All right. Wow. Do you ever get the feeling that they're slighting you on the tips?
No, because I got the scanner, so I can hear. Uh-huh. Hear what they negotiate before.
Right, well, so what do you walk with at the end of a decent night?
At the end of a decent night, a couple of $300.
It's not bad. Cash. Not bad night's work.
So cash. Yeah, it's putting me through school. I'm not complaining.
All right, everybody. Hey, good times, all right?
Okay.
All right.
Thanks. I appreciate the help again.
Yeah, thanks for letting us in on this. I'm going to, like, take that purse and put it in the toilet tank or something. It'll be great, like... Honey, that purse is creeping me out. I'm not a Prada man. Let me just set that in on it. Let me just put that in this Coleman ice chest and put it outside. Wow.
Why do you need it to be... what are you planning to do to somebody that you need not to be hurt?
You never know, Drew.
Yeah.
Once the boner kicks in, you know what I mean? You never know. You see red?
You could commence a napping.
Yeah. Yeah. Baby, I want you to be extra quiet while I nap. Mark?
Yeah.
Mark, you're 20.
Yeah.
What's up?
All right, man. I'm dating this girl right now, kind of dating her. We're having a little casual sex, but it's starting to get weird.
Uh-huh.
And I'm trying to figure out a way to break it off.
It's getting weird because she's getting attached to you?
Yeah, she is. And
how dare she?
Yeah.
What?
How dare she?
Oh, I know.
Yeah, and you're not that into her. You're not that into the sex.
Well, I am. Like whenever we're having sex, like she starts to get really rough, and like the sex is awesome, but you know, and she's really hot. It's just I don't want a relationship, and she's just kind of, you know, she's kind of weirding out on me.
Why don't you want a relationship if she's really hot?
She's just not really doing it. She like parties too much, and she gets drunk all the time, and she's. Not doing really much anything. She's going to junior college.
Nah.
Are you in school right now or something yourself?
Nah, I don't buy it.
I don't either.
Nah, not right now.
Nah. We don't really buy it.
It's not fitting.
Nah, see, Mark, here's the deal. You're 20. If she's really hot and really into sex, then you're riding that pony until it collapses. You're not looking to cut her loose.
Well, see, the free booties, it's rocking. Like, I love it, but I just... You know, weird.
You haven't told us yet what she's doing.
All you're doing is getting a bunch of free, great sex.
And what is she doing?
Well, she'll call me up and she'll be like, hey, you know, why don't you come over? There's a party tonight.
Oh, how dare she? Oh, my God, I can see why you want to leave right away.
Well, but she's got all these friends, and her friends are kind of trashy. You know, they do a lot of crap, and they're always...
Like what kind of crap?
Oh, who cares? Oh, who cares? Oh, let's just break up with her then.
Right on.
All right, everybody. Hey, good time.
That was a bogus call. It was way too vague.
Yeah, but...
They're doing lots of crap, and it's really weird. What the hell?
No, it didn't sound like he cared. First off, he didn't have a question.
No, that's bogus.
Yes, but it was so much of nothing that... But if you're going to make a bogus call, aren't you going to pick an angle? No.
Hmm.
Our callers are too stupid for that. He didn't care. All right, who cares? Oleg?
Yeah?
You're 16?
Oh, yeah. Here's the deal. Every time, like, I look at porn, like, usually what turns me on is when women are, like, peeing.
Mm-hmm.
You see, Adam? You found one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I want to know if that, like, is that, like, normal.
Do we know? We talked to a guy last night that liked it when a woman was holding her urine. Remember that? Was that last night?
Yeah. No. Same thing. Two nights ago.
You like to see them holding.
Well, that and peeing.
But the holding adds an extra arousal.
Yeah.
So you mean sort of dancing in place and having their knees bent in?
Yeah, and then pissing practically.
Uh-huh.
Practically?
Or doing it, yeah?
Well, yeah.
And you can find plenty of this. Do you look at Hustler?
Hi?
Hustler, the magazine?
No, just on the internet.
Seen on the internet. Yeah. You know, a lot of urination websites?
Yeah.
What does that help us understand? What's appealing about that? Can you put words to it?
I don't know. I just don't know. I don't know. It just turns me on for some reason.
Huh. Yeah.
I want to know if that's like normal.
Yeah, certainly are a few guys that like that.
Yeah, but
it's a fetish.
Yeah. Do you feel like if you had a girlfriend, you'd want her to do that?
Not really.
No.
Not, I don't know, not really.
So just something you'd sort of fantasize about by yourself.
Huh.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated by this holding thing. What the hell?
Well, that is this sort of build-up in the anticipation to the urine.
But that is there's some meaning in that, you know what I mean?
I don't know, because if you're into urination, isn't the sort of holding it, the foreplay before the crescendo... You know what I mean? Yeah. I know what you're saying, too.
Yeah.
I'm halfway with you.
But the whole thing of withholding and expelling is sort of a very primitive impulse.
Yeah. I know we're not supposed to judge, but I couldn't hang with a guy who was into the whole urine thing.
You hung with guys for years.
I peed on my buddies because it was a good time.
I see. Not
we didn't have... What do these kids have today? Pac-Man and Space Invaders.
Centipede,
all these newfangled games that the kids got. We didn't have the internet. We didn't have anything. We had our wits and our urine.
And the jacuzzi.
Yeah.
Jacuzzi jets, I guess, what you guys particularly were fond of.
Yeah. Let's not get into that, Drew.
No?
No. All right, now where were we? Yeah, Oleg. All right, so he likes to see people getting whizzed on, and that's fine. Now, let me ask you this, Drew.
Hmm.
When I was 16, like Oleg is, maybe I would have gotten into this women urinating.
If all that stuff was available.
If I could find it.
Yeah, who knows?
But it wasn't around, so it could never take hold.
Well, you're asking an interesting question, which is the availability of all these images and internet and video and all this stuff now prompting people into these fetishes, or are they already... preform.
Well, there's no doubt that it's there. It's sort of the argument that people make about guns and drugs, which is, NRA is like, well, if you want to kill somebody, you'll kill them with a sprinkler key or a frying pan, you'll kill them with anything. But it's like, yeah, but if you're holding a frying pan, I could run and you couldn't kill me with it. This makes it easier.
Yes.
This facilitates it.
It sort of brings it out.
Yeah, and I'm saying...
So it probably doesn't cause it. It just sort of causes it to surface in a more...
But if there's a seed of it there, it fertilizes it and waters it.
Yep, I think you're right.
So ultimately, everyone's going to be able to sort of realize, and it's the same with drugs, in the sense that it's sort of the legalization argument, which is, I don't do coke, I won't go out and buy any or whatever, but if you drew me up a line, I'd probably do it.
You ready?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Do you have any coke? No?
Sorry.
Oh. Yeah.
Well, here's some speed.
All right.
Oh.
What's that? You got some, Anderson?
I got some in the car.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
No, I don't.
Now, you don't have any in the car, but I bet if we looked around the car, we could get something together. We could get, like, at least an 8-ball.
We could do the night.
Yeah. Whatever's between the driver and passenger seat. You know, between the transmission hump and the driver's seat. I bet there's something in there in Anderson's car. Melissa?
Yeah?
You're 20?
Yes, I am.
You're dating a 28-year-old guy?
Yes.
And what's up?
Every guy I've ever been with for the past 4 or 5 years, in one way or another, has hurt me.
Yeah? What kind of hurt?
Well, started out, my aunt was married to this guy who molested me.
Mm-hmm.
Shortly after that, I got with my son's father, dated him for 3 years, abused me. caused me to lose our second baby at 5 months pregnant.
That's sad, but probably good for you and society.
Definitely.
All right.
The next guy left me for my best friend.
All righty.
And the next guy was a baseball player who turned out to be a crackhead.
All right. Well, you're choosing a lot of abusive guys.
Right. Once you've been sexually abused like that, you get wired in such a way as to form attractions for people that are going to abuse.
Right.
So now you've chosen multiple abusers, and then you also will sort of interact with those abusers in very characteristic ways, ways sort of that were established as a result of the abuse in the first place.
Right.
You won't be mature in your dealings with interpersonal stress. You'll deal with it in sort of primitive ways that were left behind by this abuse.
Okay? All right. So now you have a son.
A son who's 3 years, 3 and a half.
Oh. Always so sad because, you know, the girls become strippers, but the guys...
Not me.
I mean, I have
more respect for my...
No, I mean your daughter.
Right.
But the sons just become bullies and then go to jail. From a societal standpoint, I'd like to see more strippers. That's all I'm saying.
Right.
All right. Now you're dating a 28-year-old guy who's what?
Who has been married, is divorced. He got married at a young age and it just didn't work out. He's very well-to-do. You know, he has a very good job.
Hold on a second. She's calling from Illinois.
Yeah.
What do you think that very well-to-do, very good job dollar amount is?
45?
45? 50?
No. 45.
Now, I'm guessing the very well-to-do part is someone kicked off and left him like half a condo. But the good job, I say, under 60?
Yeah.
Under 60. All right. Melissa? What's he do for a living?
He works for a law firm.
Mm-hmm. But he's not a lawyer?
No, he's not. He works with computers.
At the law firm?
Yes.
What's he pulling down a year?
The bracket I know for sure is like $100,000. But that's not important to me.
$100 an hour?
$100,000.
$100,000?
Yes.
All right, that's good money.
Yes, it is. But that's not important.
Not for me. I can't live off under 1.5 a year. That's now my new thing, Drew.
Okay.
I wouldn't know what to do. I'd be destitute.
That's so sad.
But I'm literally a millionaire. All right. So is he abusing you or is he a bad guy?
No. My question is this. In relationships I've been in, I've never had patience. Like the guys I dated, started dating right away.
Yeah.
This guy is not looking for anything serious. However, we've had 6 dates in the past 3 weeks. He opens the door for me all the time. He always pays for things. He don't take me to Burger King or anything like that. Mm-hmm. He takes me to, like, fine Italian restaurants, something I'm not used mm-hmm. to.
Olive Garden?
No, like, it's like these Italian restaurants.
Okay, fine Italian. But he's not looking for anything serious.
But yet he says if it turns into something more, he's not going to push it away. And he recently went to Alaska for work. And he said while he was gone, he did a lot of thinking, and he said he wants to make more time for the important things in his life rather than the not-so-important things. So my question is, being that I've never had any luck and I've never had any patience, do I continue on giving him the time that he needs, or is he just like probably every other guy out there who's just going to run?
All right, well, hold on a second. First off, he works for a law firm. He went to Alaska for work.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like this is the people versus Nanook. Or like, what's going on in Alaska that he's suing old man Winter or something?
Like
class action lawsuit?
He works for the law firm with computers, and then he does independent consulting on the side, like with stuff. He went to Alaska to tape the Northern Lights. I don't know if you're familiar with those or not.
Yeah.
And
no, never heard of that.
The Northern Lights is like...
No, we know what they are.
Oh.
Aurora Listen, Borealis.
As I tell my wife, you know, because I'm horribly condescending to her, once in a while we'll be watching Jeopardy, and she'll go, do you know the answer to this? And I'll go, do you know the answer? And she goes, yeah, I know the answer. And I go, I know. Because if you know anything, rest assured, I know it. And knew it first.
You're such a prick. Oh, my God, how does she live with you?
Ah, make the big bucks. That's why.
Oh, yeah.
Literally a millionaire.
Yeah, that's why.
Humble's the days long.
Had nothing to do with, like, it's like his
He was consulting for the Kwakiewa Indians. The potlatches were sort of falling apart.
Yeah. All right, well, listen, Melissa, what sounds like it's happening is you're starting to fall for this guy.
Yes, I am.
But you're worried you're going to get hurt again.
Definitely.
And he's made it clear that he's not looking for anything, which scares Drew and I.
A little bit, yeah.
Also, you got to look at it this way. Look on the bright side. If he did fall for you and continued opening doors and treating you like a queen, you would sabotage your relationship.
I was going to say, the more you want to leave, the more you want to sabotage, the better a guy this is. The more we think you ought to stay.
Okay.
Because your impulse is going to be to stay with and be attracted to abusive guys. And when a guy is genuinely available, that's when you're going to find reasons to leave.
But this guy's not available.
He might be.
Why did he say he's not looking for anything serious?
Because he wasn't. Now he's coming around.
No, but hold on a second. Who makes this declaration early in a relationship, especially if they're attracted to somebody and they're going out with them on multiple dates? Yes, you?
No. Nerdy guy who has newfound money and sort of prestige and stuff. He's still doing kind of a nerdy thing with them. You know what I'm saying?
Why did he say wasn't looking for anything serious?
Okay, well, like I said, he's 28. He was married. He was with a girl for like 6 years. They were married for like two. His divorce was only final, I believe, in 1998.
That's five years ago.
He just doesn't want to make the same mistake twice.
What kind of stuff is he into?
He got divorced 5 years ago.
What's he into for hobbies?
What did he do for hobbies?
Yeah.
He plays in bands.
Man, hold on.
Around the Chicago area.
Mm. Clarinet?
No, he plays the drums, the guitar.
What kind of music?
Whatever bar. Like, he'll go to a place, like, whatever band's playing. Whatever they play.
Where'd you meet him? At the bar? You were dancing?
I'm not old enough to get into the bar.
Well, where'd you meet him?
I met him on the computer.
I don't know.
Something suspicious. Something troubling.
Okay. So here's the deal. I'm going to wrap this up. You got to get therapy for your past abuse.
Yep.
And you got to do it on behalf of your child.
Okay.
Because this little boy looks at you and your mommy, and I know you've been through a lot and you don't feel up to the task sometimes, but you have to be there for him, right?
Definitely.
All right. So you got to get yourself in order with this guy or without this guy. And that'll leave you in the best shape to be with him or to be without him.
Okay.
So you can keep pursuing this relationship. That's fine. Be realistic about it.
Right.
Realize if he says he wants to see other people, that means something, or he's not ready for a commitment, that means something. Listen to him when he says that. In the meantime, you get some help for your abuse. Don't get pregnant and take care of that kid of yours. Okay?
Thank you.
All right. Hey, good times, though, right?
Good times, but a good time.
All right.
Promise that by the time she's done any work, enough to be able to judge herself in a relationship, she'll be at 42 and he'll be at 65.
Yeah, I know. She's 20. And I don't know. The guy plays in a band and it's a bar. Ooh. They met on a computer. Doesn't want nothing long term, but he keeps going. A lot of guys do this. Let me say this for a second.
Right?
Yeah, but guys are such pricks because guys do this thing where they win on a technicality. At least in their mind.
Right. They go, honest.
I told her I wasn't looking for anything real. And next, it's on top of her saying, you're special. I feel different when I'm around you. But somehow, 4 months ago, he made the declaration right before the Hummer, before he got BJ, that he wasn't looking for anything, whatever. And, of course, women listen. They don't even have ears. I mean, the only reason they have ears is for earrings. I'm convinced of this. They feel things.
Yes.
They communicate like Aquaman communicates with squids and stuff. Just invisible rays come from their forehead. I believe there's a hollow cavity in their forehead where their brain.
Right in the front, yeah.
Well, you know where our brains are?
Yeah.
They have a hollow cavity in there.
They receive things.
It receives and sends.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it makes crazy sound.
Echoes.
Yeah, they can communicate. And they go off feelings. This guy's on top of me. He's making love to me. He's bringing me flowers. He wants to see me.
It makes you feel so special.
He makes me feel special. There must be love. And it's not often the case. And I just feel bad, and I don't want her to get her heart broken again. Yeah. All right.
There you go.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll be back.
My name's Dickie Barrett.
My name's Joe Gittleman.
We're in the Mighty Mighty Bosstones, and you're listening to Love Line
with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Yeah. I love this song. Dickie will be in here tomorrow night. I don't know if he's bringing Joe with him or not, but Dickie Producer Ann says no.
I think it's Dickie. Yeah.
So he'll be in here solo, and that'll be good. And maybe we'll get together and have a little lunch or something as we normally do. Yeah, just a great guy. Good guy to hang out
with. Why aren't they on the Kimmel show?
I don't know. Maybe we'll see about the Boston's being on the Kimmel show. Andre?
Yeah.
You're 25?
That's right.
What's up?
Well, I've been dating this girl for the last 7 months, and when I play with her nipples, she has milk come out of them, and it's been going on for the last 6 months.
Is she on any medication?
No, she's not. Hmm. And it's kind of strange, and I don't know. At first, I thought she was pregnant, but...
That is the number one reason. Number two would be medication. Number three and four really are hormone problems, like hypothyroidism. The pituitary gland can have a tumor that creates prolactin that can cause breast milk production. And then just stimulate the breast by themselves can get breast milk going in some.
Is that number five?
That's number four or five, yeah.
No, four. Oh, five.
So they're all kind of three, four, five kind of run together four in terms hormone. Of probability.
See. Do you like this, Andre?
I mean, it's interesting.
Well, some guys are into it. They have magazines for that.
Mm. It's a little different, you know, but at first I thought she was lying to me and just telling me, you know.
She needs to see a doctor, okay?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, maybe she is pregnant. Oh.
6 months?
Oh, yeah.
She hasn't grown at all, right. Anything, you know?
Yeah, you're right.
All right. Tumors in the pituitary, thyroid needs to be ruled out, and you need to make sure she's not taking any medication. All right?
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Hey, Andre.
Yeah.
What were the two things Drew said?
She needs to check on, go to a doctor.
But specifically, what did he say?
It's a gland, something to do with a gland.
Right.
Good times.
Tumor in the what?
And it could have to do with the medication she's on.
Yeah, if she's on it.
All right.
And then thyroid.
Thyroid.
And it can also happen from stimulation. So if you stimulate the nipples enough, it can make
it. But that's pretty rare. That's right. That's pretty unusual.
I don't understand that, but every time we're together, she's French, so like I only see her once a month, you know, and like
all right, so
it always comes out.
That's not likely to be causing it then. You need sort of continuous irritation.
Is she living in France or?
Yeah, she lives in France, and I see her like once a month.
She have stewardess or something, a flight attendant?
Yeah, she is.
She is.
That's the only thing I can think of where you'd be here every month. And
Andre, you don't strike me as the international jet setter type.
Well, actually, I live in Los Angeles, but...
Oh, well, then, Adam, wrong you were.
Color me wrong.
Actually, I am a jet setter type.
You are?
Yeah.
What do you do?
I work in the film industry.
I see. What do you do in the film industry?
Distribution, so I go to the different film markets.
You go to that Cannes Film Festival?
Yeah, that's right.
That's pretty crazy, right? I see that on E!
Yeah, I met her after one of the film festivals, and so we've been together ever since, and... You know,
what do you do, Andre, for the distribution?
Is your
company?
Dad own that company?
No, I sell films internationally, sell the rights.
All right,
you're a salesman.
Yeah, well, I mean, I work in distribution, so yeah, I guess.
Right.
I call it sales.
You sell any big films that we've heard of?
No, probably not. A lot of B movies.
All right. Well, you know, good times. All right.
Yeah, but you know, it's just been a new experience to me. So
yeah.
I told her since you know. Love lines around that I call and find out because she's concerned about it herself.
All right, take her to the doctor. Good times.
That's right.
Wow. So that's how the film industry works.
I don't like when dumb guys are leading better lives than me. I get angry.
Happens a lot, huh?
Almost all the time.
I wonder if he knows some of the answers on Jeopardy.
I don't think so. If he does, then I know.
You know him.
That and telling her she was bringing home the Bacos.
That was in my head tonight for some reason. I was walking home thinking, bringing home the Bacos. That's what he tells his wife.
No, my wife said, I was running late for this show. I said, go upstairs and get me my mucklucks and sweatpants. I'm getting into the shower.
And say, get them, bitch.
No, not yet. Not yet.
It's a couple years down the road.
I get into the shower at 9:28.
Yeah.
And I need my stuff waiting for me because I get dressed as I'm moving toward the front door like a fireman, you know?
Yeah.
And so I said, go upstairs, get the mucklucks and the sweatpants, and whatever you do, make sure you got a T-shirt, the same one I wore the last three nights. And she said, you go get them yourself. And I said, listen, I bring home the bacon. Now go get those sweatpants. And she said, I bring home the bacon too. And I said, no, you bring home the bake-os. I bring home the bacon. There's a big, big difference. You have those little soy little tidbits that are colored like bacon, but no, you can't live off them. You just sprinkle them on a salad. All right. Adrian?
Hello.
Hey.
Hey, I don't want to make you, like, repeat anything, but when did you get married, Adam?
It's been about 4 months now.
Wow. That's
been longer than that. Wasn't that August?
No, September.
September. A bit early, right, in September?
I don't know.
October,
November,
that.
December,
January. It felt like late September. Medium late? Oh, shut up, Drew. Don't argue with me. I know my...
Just asking.
Four months. It was four months and 10 days or something.
I listen to you guys all the time, and obviously I haven't been listening lately because the way I found out you were married, Adam, is I saw you on Star Search. Isn't that sad?
This is sad that he was on Star Search. Yes, that was sad.
I saw that ring, and I was like, oh, my God.
Oh, my God. What if I had done Star Search? Think what you would have done to me. The abuse you would have just...
But you were funny, Adam.
Why? I was funny, right?
Yes, you are always funny, but I just couldn't believe you were married.
Yeah, broke your heart, didn't it, baby?
How long were you engaged?
I don't know. Well, why are you making it so hard on yourself? Why are you twisting the knife?
I listened to you. I don't feel like I've missed that many months of the show, and before you know it, you're married, and I'm really flabbergasted.
Well, listen, you keep talking, everyone's going to know. All right?
Okay.
All right. And you're all the way up there in Seattle, right?
Yeah.
And here we go. You're a heroin addict.
No.
Let me tell you my policy about travel with the marriage thing. Mm-hmm. I told the old lady, that ring, it don't make it through the metal detector. You know what I'm saying?
You know, yeah. You're not wearing it tonight.
Yeah, I was boxing today. I took it off.
Okay, so here's my question. When I have sex with certain individuals, I can ejaculate.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to an amazing degree, and it's the most amazing thing, and I cannot do it to myself,
right.
And I also don't do it with people that I really care about, but yet there are certain individuals that I have no emotional connection to that make it happen to such an extreme that it is...
All right, but it's not been with someone you've been in love with. All right, Drew, you're thinking the same thing I'm thinking.
What?
Well... That she has intimacy problems and she doesn't want to give that away?
It's more...
Well, it's not a conscious thing.
It's that there's a certain amount of shame, and when you truly expose yourself when it counts with someone you really care about, it's too risky, and so you can't risk being open sexually and intimately, as Adam is saying, with someone that the stakes are up or high.
Yeah, but again, not a conscious thing.
No. It's not you're deciding.
All right, so...
Just you won't let yourself.
This means... One of two things. Either dad split early
Dad's the coolest dad in the world. He's right in my life.
Mm.
But the strange thing is
your
there's
mom?
One guy that I truly care about that I've been on and off with for like almost 10 years that it does not happen with, but yet I feel like I'm so free with him and I've done more crazy things with him than anyone else. But there's one guy in particular that I see every once in a great while that I really have no respect for, no great connection with, but yet he makes it happen every single time.
Yeah.
And it baffles me because, I mean, I don't know what he does. I don't know if
all right, quiet down.
Physical.
Hold on a second. Jesus Christ, your voice is hurting my teeth. Maybe he's just... Bangs are so hard because he wants to, like, mute her or something. Like he's trying to bang the voice out of her. Oh, my God.
So if it's one guy, it's probably something he does. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's the physical thing.
So, Adrian.
Yes?
Your dad's great. Everything's good there.
Yes.
And no losses early on. Mom's good.
Yes.
Everything's
They're
happy.
They're still married 40 years.
Everything's happy.
Yes.
This one guy just does
all right.
something.
It flips your cookie.
Yeah.
That's all.
I'd love to do you, Adam, though.
Yeah. I'd get that female ejaculate right out of you.
You're married now.
I'd get it out if I had to stomp on your belly with my mucklucks until something came out. I'd ring you like a bar rag. Something would come out of you. Believe you me, if I had to put it up there in advance, something would come out.
It's more than a golden shower.
Hold on a second. Let me talk to Drew again.
Oh, man.
What's up?
I don't know.
Something a little weird with her?
Oh, yeah.
What? Is she just a little off? I think...
I can't figure out because she doesn't give us anything on the history.
Adrian.
Yes?
Are you into, like, astrological signs and that kind of stuff?
No, not at all. I don't even believe in God.
Good girl. What do you do for a living?
I work with electricians.
Doing what?
I'm an apprentice.
Really?
Yeah.
You pulling conduit and Romex and all that stuff?
What?
What is it with people who call this show cannot know anything about whatever job they do? Conduit, Romex, EMT?
I work on, like, printing electrician type stuff. Within, like, presses and stuff.
Oh. All right, baby. You doing okay?
Yeah.
All right. All right, why not? Yeah, all right. So the one guy's good and the other guy's not good.
But I want to be able to do it to myself.
Well, how about a vibrator?
It doesn't... I still can't ejaculate.
All right. Well, that's you.
You have to kind of work on it. I mean, that's not something that's going to... You know, that's a difficult thing to achieve. With somebody without whatever. You got to kind of work at it.
Yeah. Yeah. Women are such a... vagina's like a Rubik's Cube. You just can never dial that thing in.
I think she's just a different kind of person. It's really like a character.
Yeah. No, I mean, not everyone's nuts. They just have different, they're sort of
qualities.
Different breeds.
Yeah, different qualities.
Different energies.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's fine.
Yeah.
See, that's a good example of somebody who wasn't abused, isn't disturbed, who just has their own funky energy.
Yeah.
All right.
And you know, what's different is she has relationships that are reasonable and satisfying for her. And, you know.
Okay. All right. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew over there. All right. I'm not going to give you the phone number because I don't want you to call Dickie Barrett from the Boston's tomorrow night. All right. Traveling down that home stretch, Drew. Marcy?
Yeah.
17?
Yeah.
You want to know how to get rid of ex-boyfriend?
Yeah. He's becoming kind of obsessed with me.
Uh-huh. He calls and threatens you?
Yeah. We were really good friends for the last 3 years, and mm-hmm. we kind of dated on and off.
Mm-hmm.
And then last week he calls me in, like, this outrage and starts threatening me that he's going to kill me and him and that.
Was he drunk?
I don't know. I think that he's starting to do coke.
Yeah. Okay.
How old is he?
He's 18.
And why did you get together with him after being friends with him for 3 years?
Well, I don't know. We're really close, and...
How old is he?
He's 18.
18, sorry.
Drew was so busy waving his coffee mug around for one of his squires to come fill it up. They couldn't hear the question I'd asked only moments earlier. Sorry, Marcy. I apologize for Drew.
Well, also when he was talking to me, or yelling at me, he was telling me that I'm the one for him, and that he should get a chance. And then another second, he would be screaming at me how he hates me.
Well, if he's loaded, all bets are off. Don't try to make sense of what he's saying if he's okay. Particularly high in stimulants.
All right, so if he's threatening to kill, is he going to kill himself, then you, or you, and then... Oh, no, wait a minute.
Right.
He's got to kill you, then kill himself, right?
Yeah.
Right. And I think I had an uncle who had the plan to kill himself, then kill his girlfriend, and...
Didn't worry out?
Well, he just killed himself.
Oh.
I think he fell toward her.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, good plan.
All right. So, Marcy, if he does that, you know, you got to call the cops because this guy's making a threat against you.
Yeah.
You do.
And he may be getting out of control with his drugs, and he may be suicidal.
Yeah, it's to protect him as well as yourself, right?
Where are your parents?
They're here. They're home.
Can you tell them?
They know anything about this?
No.
Would they help you?
Well, they know who he is, but...
But would they help you if you told they heard about all this?
Yeah, I think my dad would probably want to take care of it.
What does that mean?
Well, he'd probably want to go and have a talk with him.
Yeah, but this is not just to protect you. This kid needs help.
Yeah, that's why I'm afraid to, like, say anything to him because I don't want him to hurt himself.
Yeah, but also, Marcy, you got to take this away from you and put it in the hands of people who can help this guy, which is law enforcement and mental health system. Your dad's not going to be able to change this. He may be able to push him back away from you a little bit, but if you have nothing else you feel you can do, call the police and to give a report.
What about your dad? Would he do anything when you were a kid?
Yeah.
Really? Is that some bully or something?
I never told him about stuff like that, but yeah, I'm sure they would.
My dad was such a pussy. That would never matter. I'd look at him and just go, eh. I was like 9. I'd look at him and go, eh, you lazy sack. You're no good to me. I find someone who's good for me.
Yeah. Did you?
Find somebody?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I found?
Who?
Yeah, me. Me. Yeah,
but you hung out with all those
Mr.
other kids.
Mr. Bacon. Oh, yeah. No, I had friends.
What was the brothers? What were their names? The Bailey brothers? Or?
Which brothers?
No.
The Black brothers?
Yeah, what were their names?
What brothers?
There were two brothers you said you went and hung out with and played football with all day. And.
Yeah, you know, my Black friends?
Yeah.
The Boyd brothers.
Boyd brothers, yeah.
Yeah. My stupid mom. My mom would drop the... I played Pop Warner football with Henry and James Boyd, and they lived in the ghetto. And my mom would drop me off there. It was all part of that 70s sort of, Chicano studies major, you know. I'd get dropped off in the ghetto for the entire weekend, which was fine with me because I was 9, didn't know what the hell was going on. But I'd just be walking right down alleys and into parks and stuff, wrestling with the Boyd brothers, and eating grits and ham hocks and stuff, like crazy novelty Black food, and big fat single mom running around, drunken older brother. Oh, I mean, it was perfect. It was like every Black stereotype there was. But yeah, we loved each other. We had a good time. We just played football day long. They called each other nigger. Everyone, all of them, brothers, friends, all of them, all the time. This is 1973.
Yeah,
1974. I pulled out the N-word at some point there after getting a little too rambunctious, and everyone stopped and looked at me. It was great. I mean, I've been hearing them call themselves nigger for so long that eventually it just came flying out of my mouth.
And then it was like, "We're gonna kill you."
Yeah. No, it was
get
just,
that crawly kid.
No,
you gotta stop saying that, please.
It was just more. Woo. What's that?
I keep recording it every time, and I'm gonna have a collection. So stop saying that word,
nigger.
Stop.
Well, I'm just saying that's what the Boyd brothers called themselves. They called me that. I called everyone that. That's all. They're good guys. It was nice. I was reading in the paper then when I was in high school that one of them was like all city somewhere else.
And, cool.
Yeah. It turned out fine.
What happened to those guys?
They're in prison. Oh. Sarah?
Yes?
Damn.
You're 19?
Yes.
What's up?
Okay. I have my best friend. We've been best friends for 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
We got together 3 years ago. We were together for 2 years and we're engaged for a year now. He got into a car accident and it paralyzed him from the waist down. I'm young, you know. I have a lot ahead of me still.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be so hard. You know, he's going to need help for the rest of his life. That's a lot of extra baggage. And
how long ago did this happen?
About 6 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still with him, but it's hard. And I don't know what to do. I mean,
you're calling from Lodi?
California.
Lodi?
Yes.
Yeah.
Lodi, isn't that
you don't have rush you don't that much ahead of you. You're in Lodi. That'd be a good gig for you, pushing him around for 30 years. Are you getting out of Lodi?
Yes.
All right. You know that Creedence song?
What song?
The Creedence Clearwater Revival?
No.
Yeah. Stuck out in Lodi again?
Huh?
No.
Okay, hold on a second. Drew, was I saying it to you? I don't know who I was saying it to, but I'm always amazed at people. Like, I'll talk to some chick, and she'll be named Sheila, and I'll go, hey, you know that Tommy Rowe song, Sheila? And then we go, no. That's sweet little Sheila, you know.
Yeah. People have their sort of wheelhouse for cultural information, music, movies, that kind of stuff. If you don't make reference to their sweet spot, it doesn't exist.
Yeah, but here's what I'm saying. I know she's 19. She's not a big Creedence fan.
Yeah. But I never heard of Creedence.
Creedence Clearwater Revival is a fairly large band.
You're like some guy referring to a Glenn Miller orchestra.
Sold millions of records.
When you were in that
season. All right, well, listen, jackass. When I was... All right. Now listen to me. This band is like 25, 30 years old. Okay?
35 years old.
Well, okay, they started in the later 60s, but they made it in...
That would be 45 years old.
All right, quiet down. They made it into the 70s.
All right, 35 years.
Okay. Now, when I was 19 or whatever, I'd heard of Tommy Dorsey and Glenn Miller,
okay.
Les Brown and these people.
These guys have heard of the Doors and the Beatles and the Rolling Stones.
Yeah. Don't you start agreeing with me, you idiot? I'm saying she lives in Lodi.
You would think they would still...
Creedence has a song called Stuck Out in Lodi Again, and it was a popular song. You'd think it'd just be buzzing in every song.
And you know every one of those sort of Central California cities still listening to 70s music.
Yes, so, and it's probably playing in every gift shop in Lodi. Yeah.
Yes, sir, Miss Grohl.
Thank you. Sarah?
Yes.
Now do you know this song?
Yes.
That's right. That's right, you do. All right, so he got in an accident. He's paralyzed from the waist down. He was your fiancé or just your boyfriend?
Well, we've been a fiancé for years.
You know what? I don't think that it's just that he's paralyzed. I think this is a youthful relationship that is now being stressed. And when reality sort of creeps into an idealized relationship, it doesn't work. And I think if you had met him as an adult and you saw each other for who you were and you had a real mature relationship and something happened to one of you, you'd probably commit to one another. But this relationship wasn't about that. This is something, this is sort of a puppy love that you've had forever that you've sort of protected and turned into something. And now that reality has reared its ugly head, it ain't working anymore. And it's more, I wouldn't feel guilty that it's because of the accident. I would look at it more in terms of this relationship having not been healthy in the first place.
Oh, Lord, stuck out in Lodi again. Yeah. Shocking that Brian, phone screener Brian, knew that, but
Tara, don't call me Tara.
I'm going to put good money to know that one. No, and I'm going Anderson, no.
Anderson, no?
On that one. Yeah, Anderson does.
You know Creedence?
Yeah, I know the name, but I mean, if Brian knows it, I don't really want to know it.
See?
Have you heard of Creedence Clearwater?
Again, yes, I've heard that.
Intelligent people being punished by retarded elitists. All right, we'll take a little
Dickhead.
Break. We'll be right back. This show, mercifully, has come to an end. Dickie Barrett from the Mighty Mighty Boston's in tomorrow night. A dear friend of the show.
Some of just you and me time.
That's nice. All right, Drew.
But Dickie's going to intrude on it tomorrow night.
Well, that's all right. We're big fans of his.
Deal with the fact that I am gay.
Okay, Drew. Mm. Show's still on. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.
It's more than a golden shower.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on the show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.